Perhaps the greatest treasure on this earth and one of the only things that will survive this life is human relationships, old friends. We are indeed rich if we have friends. Friends who have loved us through the problems, heartaches, and reversals of life. Deep, true, joyful friendships. Life is just too short and eternity too long to live without old friends.
Each week, here on Something to Believe In, Reverend Tommy Bounce presents to you a program of encouragement and blessing with uplifting music and a life-changing message from the Word of God. Now, here's Something to Believe In with Reverend Tommy Bounce.
Why don't you let down your net? Down into the water, there's a blessing waiting you cannot contain. If you just let down your net, way down in the water, he's pulling out the ladder ring. There are some of you, diseased and afflicted, and sickness reigns within your mind. You've let the prophets of doubt and unbelief convince you that Jesus don't heal the sick and blind. Why don't you let down your net? Way down in the water, there's a blessing waiting you cannot contain. If you just let down your net, way down in the water, he's pulling out his ladder ring. Soul is thirsty, you're so battle weary, your body's weak and tired from pain. Well, it's time to get up, stand up on the Bible, he's pouring out his ladder ring. Come on and let down your net, way down in the water, there's a blessing waiting you cannot contain. If you just let down your net, way down in the water, he's pouring out the ladder ring.
He washed my eyes with tears, that I might see the broken heart I had was good for me. He tore it. With tears that I
Many times in my childhood, when I've traveled so far, by nightfall, oh how weary I had grown. Father's arms would slip around me, and he gently would say, "My child, we are going home." going home. I'm going home. There is nothing to hold me here. Now the twilight is fading, and the day soon shall end. Lord, I get homesick the farther I roam. Oh, but the Father, He has led me each step of the way, and now I am going home. Going home, I'm going home. There is nothing to hold me here. I caught a glimpse of that heavenly land. Praise God, I am on my way to heaven, and my journey's getting sweeter every day. I'm walking with Jesus, talking with Jesus all along the way. Well, my soul gets so happy that I shout and I sing night and day. I'm on my way to heaven, and my journey's getting sweeter every day. And my ups and downs, my sorrow and frowns have passed my way. But I paid no attention, dropped all my contention, had no time to stay. Problems only weighed me down and caused my sunny skies to turn gray. But I'm on my way to heaven, and my journey's getting sweeter every day. I'm on my way to heaven, and my journey's getting sweeter every day. I'm walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus all along the way. Well, my soul gets so happy, I shout and I sing night and day. I'm on my way to heaven, and my journey getting sweeter every day. It was good enough to save me and wash all my old sins away. Now He leads me, He guides me, protects me and hides me, keeps me each day. I know that He loves me, for He entered in my heart into to stay. Now I'm on my way to heaven, and my journey's getting sweeter every day. Well, I'm on my way to heaven, and my journey's getting sweeter every day. I'm walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus all along the way. My My soul gets happy that I shout and I sing night and day. Said I'm on my way to heaven and my journey getting sweeter every day. Well, I'm on my way to heaven and my journey getting sweeter every day. I'm walking with Jesus.
Turn with me over into Luke's Gospel in chapter 7 and beginning to read in verse 18. John's followers told him about all these things. And he calls for two of his followers, and he sent them to the Lord to ask, are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for someone else? When the man came to Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us to you with the question, are you the one who is to come, or should we wait for someone else? At that time, Jesus was healing many people of their sickness, disease, and the evil spirits. And he had given sight to the blind. Then Jesus answered John's followers, go and tell John what you have saw and what you have heard. The blind can see, the cripple can walk. The people with skin diseases are being healed. The deaf are now hearing, and the dead have been raised to life. And the good news has been preached to the poor. Those who do not stumble in their faith because of me are blessed. When John's followers left, Jesus began talking to the people about John. Now, what did you go out into the desert to see? A reed? Something that is blown by the wind? What did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No. People who have fine clothes and much wealth live in king's palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes. And I will tell you, John is more than a prophet. This was written about him. I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare the way for you. Verse 28. I tell you that John is greater than any other person that was ever born. But even the least important person in the kingdom of God is greater even than John. Father, your word for your people honor it. In Christ's name we pray. And everybody said it?
Amen.
Amen. I'd like to title this message today, Strength That Cannot Be Bullied. Many preachers have talked about God doing new things. But you know, in my theology, I believe that God is always doing new things. We're seeing things happening today that people act as though it just happened. The gays, the homosexual movements, the television is covered. People are coming out of the closets. You know, not long ago, they became blazing because the gays and the homosexuals kept themselves hid away in closets. They were afraid to identify as being gays and homosexuals. I do a recitation called I Dream About Mama last night. And in that recitation, I talk about how I used to be young and gay. And someone came to me and said, hey, preacher, in this day and time, you need to be more cautious about using the word of being gay. But it seems to me that the world, all of a sudden, they act as though they ran in to a new vocabulary. But gays have been even since the beginning of time. All through the Bible, you will find them weeded in different places. Corinth, one of the most corrupt places. But today, we call it lifestyle. God calls it an abomination. But yet they say, well, this is the way that God made me. They also say that God made you from a monkey. But are you a monkey? It's not lifestyle. It's an abomination in the sight of Almighty God. It's an abomination for man to lay with man. It's an abomination for a woman to lie with a woman. It's an abomination for a woman to marry a woman. It's an abomination for a man to marry a man. But they have crept in to our sanctuaries, even in our pulpits today. You have churches that are literally gay churches, homosexual churches.
Why, you have churches that are called the Satan churches, and they are Satan worshipers. But does that make it right in the sight of God? Has it just begun to happen? Well, I'll tell you, back in September the 11th, something happened. Our world was shaken by a great catastrophe, a greater than Pearl Harbor. All of a sudden, planes begin to fly in to the towers. Men and women begin to lose their lives. Recitations of songs have been written about it. And we will soon be celebrating a year from September the 11th. But something else happened at that time. The Christian realized that it's time to come out of the closets. So you see, I say today that all of a sudden, God has put a backbone back in the Christian. You see, we've always been called the weakling. We've always been called the coward. We've always been called the sissy. I remember when I used to go to school as a little boy. Just because I was a Christian, just because I was raised in a Christian home, some of the people would laugh at me, and they would make fun of me because I was a Christian. I drove a school bus, and on that school bus, we would haul Christian children to Christian schools. And they laughed at them. They made fun of them, and they called them Christians. But you know what? I have seen those people who was laughed at, who was talked about, who left the bus many times with tears in their eyes because of the stand they took for Christ. But you see, they had a strength that couldn't be bullied. They hung on to Christ. They hung on to God. Regardless of all the opposition, they still stood for God. And today, they are prominent people in our community. They went on to be successful. They have successful homes. And folks, what I'm trying to say today is God is trying to put a backbone on the Christian. It's time, the Bible said, for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. It's time that we realize that we are not the tail, we are the head. So many people today say, well, the church is going under. Hey, folks, I read the Bible. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible said the church is going over and going up. It ain't going down. Jesus said, I'll build a church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You see, God made a covenant with Abraham a long time ago. Back then, it was only Abram. You remember when he made the covenant with Abram? But then after he made the covenant with Abram, he said, now you will be called Abraham. You see what he did? He put some ham on Abraham. He gave him a bravery that he could be able to stand. He would never bend. Jesus said, what did you go out to see? Did you go out to see a reed that is so easily shaken by the wind? I'm afraid today that as Christians, we have become the reed and not the strong tower that God has called us to be. I remember a man called Wishart. Now, I don't know whether you remember him, but he was a great preacher and a great philosopher. And at that time, they were martyring Christians. If you named the name of Christ, you were most generally put at the stake and burnt. That was when they had martyrs. But anyhow, Wishart claimed the name of Christ. So they took him out. Brother Elmo, they tied him to a stake. They put the brush fire all around him. They put the gas or what they were going to light it with. And then a man walked over with a torch in his hand. And Wishart looked down at him and said, sir, come close. He's tied to the post. And the man came very close. He said, come closer. And the man came closer. And he said, sir, just a little bit closer. And the man got as close as he could get. And Wishart reached over and kissed him on the cheek. And the man stood back and said, don't you know I'm getting ready to burn you at the stake? He looked at the man and he said, sir, for the cause of Christ, you are forgiven. You see, he had strength that could not be bullied. Even the flames of the fire that would burn him at the stake. But yet he stood faithful for God. But let me tell you what his faithfulness meant.
Cold and your friends seem few. There is someone who cares for you. in your eyes, your heart bleeds inside. There is someone who cares for you. Someone to care, someone to share all your trouble like no other can do. Brush the tears from your eyes. Here is John, and he cares for you. When the disappointments come and you feel so blue, someone to care for you. When you need a friend till the end, there is someone who'll be a friend to you.
You can write to me, Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 4226, Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951. Again, that's Reverend Tommy Mounts, Box 2642, Madams Creek Road, Hinton, West Virginia, 25951.
When you need a friend until the end, I'll be someone who'll be